Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
It's so good to see you this morning. I'm grateful that you came to worship the Lord at East Haven this morning. Today, I want to talk about what to do when you don't know what to do. Now, if you've been here this summer, you know we're in the middle of a series called Hot Topics for a Hot Summer. So we've talked a lot about a lot of number of hot topics or questions that people have sometimes about our faith or even what's going on in the world. So if you're looking at your sermon outline on the back of your sheet, then you know that's not what's printed. We'll have to save that for another day. Today's not the day to deal with that particular subject, which certainly can be a hot topic, certainly, especially for some. So we'll deal with that another time. In light of what happened yesterday in our nation, and some of us are old enough to have walked through some of these tragic events in our nation before, whether it was 9/11 or when Reagan was shot, he survived. And we're grateful that in light of the attempt to assassinate our former president, Donald Trump, that he's alive by the grace of God. We're very, very grateful for that. It could have been a very different day for us today, though it still is somewhat surreal. And so I think it's important for us when you, anytime you have a national tragedy like this, to be open to a curveball that may be thrown at you and do something a little bit different and trust God. And that's what, by God's grace, we're going to do this morning by thinking again about the topic, what do you do when you just don't know what to do? When something goes on like the attempted assassination of President Trump, then you just, it's kind of surreal. You have a lot of different emotions. You have different thoughts. You may have some things you want to say, and it may or may not be good to say them. And so as Christians, we just have to be reminded that God is the God of all seasons of life. And I believe that He has a word for us today, especially in light of this topic and what's going on in our world. And there's still more that's coming. You know, the news updates us regularly about more information that's coming out. So we don't know all there is to know about everything that occurred, but we know enough to be grateful, and we know enough to thank the Lord for being sovereign, and we know enough to pray for our former president as well as our president, that God would use this to draw them to Him, and that God would use this to bring revival in our own life, and that God would save people through this that don't know Him. Leadership positions in our government as well as those in other places in our world. God has a way of using times like this to draw people to Him, to cause us to hit our knees, to say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't understand all this. I've never lived in a time like this. So our hope and prayer is that that's what will happen through this. Now, it might be that this applies to you in a different way. For example, you're not sure what to do when you don't know what to do because maybe your job position has been eliminated. Maybe your spouse of 20 plus years came to you recently and said, I want a divorce. Maybe you have a prodigal child that you never dreamed would be the prodigal child. Maybe you have been told you have cancer, and that wasn't supposed to happen to you. That was supposed to happen to somebody else, but you have it, and you don't know exactly what to do. You see how we could go on and on about times that we pray about things, and it seems like, God, I don't hear you answering this prayer, or I don't understand how to handle this. Do I say something? Do I do something? What do? You don't know what to do. Someone has once said, if I look at myself, I am depressed. If I look at those around me, I am often disappointed. If I look at my circumstances, I am discouraged. But if I look at Jesus, I am constantly, consistently, and eternally fulfilled. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Psalm 62 and verse 8. If you're a note taker, then I know I've really messed you up this morning because the outline on your back of your worship guide is different. So just kind of mark through that or use something else or might take some mental notes. I've given you the title. And so the text comes from Psalm 62 and verse 8. David, a mighty warrior of God, a man after God's own heart, went through a lot of ups and downs in his life. Sometimes they were just because of his position as a leader. Sometimes it was because of where he landed in his family tree. Sometimes it was brought on because of choices that he made and he had to deal with the circumstances. That can apply to all of us. And sometimes there were things outside of his control. What do you do when you don't know what to do? The setting or the context for this particular passage is where David of the Old Testament was dealing with Absalom, his son, who was rebelling against him. And also the fact that there was the destruction of Jerusalem that he didn't want to occur. So his son was rebelling, but he was king, and he wanted to protect his people. He had a responsibility. So if we can ever look at a passage or a man or a person in the Bible, and there are a number of them, where you say, how did he handle this? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I think if we zero in on verse 8, we can see it. And we're just going to spend a little bit of time looking at this morning. Here's what it says. Trust in him at all times, you people. David the king, believe Jehovah God, supplies to us as Christians. Trust in him at all times, you people. Folks, it is a lot easier for us to trust in God when things are going well, isn't it? But all of a sudden, if there's a curveball or something that happens all of a sudden in our own personal world or in our world, it can be an opportunity to go to a whole nother level and trust him. And we need to be reminded, folks, that in our area, in our county, family members that don't live here, that are not Christians. They don't claim to be. They may not want to be. They just are not there at this point. They are watching you. And they're watching me right now and how we handle this. They're listening to what we say and what we don't say. We have to, I was talking to our deacons earlier, we had a meeting, and myself, all of us, we have to be careful. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. James speaks of it. Proverbs talks about it. Do not let, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up, so it may benefit those who listen. So that first part, trust in him, trust in God at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. One of the greatest blessings of having some time alone with God is that we can sing even if we can't sing. We can cry. We can laugh. We can shout. And we can ask questions. He's a big enough God to handle our questions. And so we're supposed to talk to him. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. So when we look at this, there's two major points. The first one is this. It is to trust in God. We have close friends. We have Christians. We have Sunday school classes. We have the body of Christ. We have people at work. We have colleagues. We have classmates. We have family members that are Christians. by God's grace, and we can talk to them, but ultimately our trust is not in them. It's not in a political party. It is not ultimately in a president. It is in God more than anything else. This is a reminder that should always be our top priority. That should always be where we go first. It is in trusting in God. He says, trust. David says, trust in him, my people, at all times. And sometimes we trust in things that we shouldn't trust in. People can hurt you. Possessions can hurt you when they become our priority or our God. We're not to have the love of money. Power can hurt you. It's all throughout that text, verse 3, verse 10, verse 9. A refuge is a place that provides shelter or protection. Shelter or protection. Have you ever seen a mama bear protect her cubs? You ever seen a video or a movie about that? Have you ever seen a mama dog taking care of her puppies? Have you ever seen a mama that may live at your house? Somebody messing with their kids. The mama bear could come out. Very protective. Very protective. But nobody can protect us. As we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father through the Son, John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Nobody can protect us like our Heavenly Father. He is sovereign. He can take care of us when we can't take care of ourselves, when somebody else can't, when we think this place is going mad, our world is awful, I've never lived in a time like this. We have to trust in God. He is our refuge, our protector. If something happens outside of our control, we continue to trust him. And that's what David is saying, and that's what God is saying to all of us. We're to trust in God. Secondly, we see from our text this. We're to talk to God. David said to pour out your heart to him. You can read in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, verse 1. O God, listen to my prayer. David was a master at talking to the master. Think about the times when he was a shepherd boy. Before he ever became a king, he developed a time of spending time talking to God and having a personal walk with him. And then through the tragedies and the triumphs that he went through in his life, he became even more of an expert in talking and communicating with God. In Psalm 51, if you have your Bible and you've already found the psalm that I read, you might turn back to Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David. This is after he was confronted with Nathan the prophet about his adulterous affair. And because he was broken and he was repentant, God forgave him. There were consequences, but he restored him. And that might be what somebody needs to hear this morning. It may or may not be related to what's going on in our world, but maybe God needs to gently speak to you today through this, that he can restore you. You're alive. You can be repentant. Oh, sure, there may be consequences. There will be. But listen, God is a forgiving God, and he wants to have an intimate, personal walk with you, even if you messed up, and if you messed up big. Listen to what David said. He's crying out to God, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. And then you go down to verse 17. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Will you delight? Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous and burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Talk to God and trust in God. Some of you have heard the story about Elisha Hoffman. He was a pastor in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, years ago. And there was a lady in his parish, in his church, that would often have something wrong. The glass was always half empty. You might know people like that. Oh, this is wrong with me. This is wrong with my family. This is wrong in the world. This is what's wrong with my car. This is what's wrong with my job. This is what's wrong. Just something was always troubling her. And so Pastor Hoffman always did his best to comfort her and pray for her during her various trials, as he did other church members. And so one particular day, he went by to see her, and she began to pour out her most recent troubles. She was wringing her hands, and she says, "Oh, Brother Hoffman, what shall I do? What shall I do?" The pastor read a scripture about God's faithfulness. Perhaps it was 1 Corinthians 1:9. God, who has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And so he read that passage. And he said, "You see, my dear sister, God wants to bear all these sorrows that you have, and the ones that you have right now, whether great or small." And he said, "The best thing we can do is to take them to Jesus." And then he said, "We must tell Jesus." "Yes, Pastor," she said. She got excited. "You are so right. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." For the rest of the day, those words kept burning in the heart of the pastor, Elisha Hoffman. "I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." He went back to his study, the pastor did, at the church, and he wrote the words to this song. "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone." Isaiah 64:4. "For since the world began, no ear has heard, and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him." What do you do when you don't know what to do? You trust him and you talk with him. Let's talk with him right now. Dear God, We're always reminded when we read Psalm 119 how important it is when we go through life as a Christian to go back to your word, which is total truth. There's so many mistruths out there through social media, fake news, news. We're grateful for all the good things that come from that, but there's just so much trash. And so, Lord, we are so grateful that this morning we could come to your word and just spend a few minutes being reminded of your faithfulness, of your sovereignty, of your protection, of your providence. You are so providential. It's not an accident that we are alive today. It's not an accident that we're here this morning, all of us. It's no accident that we're looking at this particular psalm instead of something else. And so, God, as we approach this invitation, we want to make this a prayer altar. We want to sing the best we can. We want to think about the words we're singing. And we want to allow this invitation time now to be a time of celebration, a time of repentance perhaps, a time of praying with a staff member, a time of just listening to your voice, making private decisions as well as maybe public. We pray it'll be done for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.